You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce to you our one and only David Lee, who's going to be taking the stage. Can we please welcome up David Lee?
Oh, thanks, guys. What a pleasure it is to be with you all here today. Well, as John said, my name is David Lee, and if you don't know me yet, you're going to get to know a bit about me today. I've had the pleasure of being with Sun Life for about a couple of years now. I've had the pleasure of serving with kids and youth, still do, and different roles there, and currently helping on the missions team, which you'll hear about more in a few couple of weeks, what that's going to be like. We've got some surprises for you. It's going to be a good year. And Australia Day, huh? Is anyone surprised by the weather? It's like we had hot, 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 and then today, cool. Which, you know, is nice, but maybe not what you expected for Australia Day. So whether you're celebrating today or maybe tomorrow is your day off, you're getting to the beach, having a picnic, it's definitely one of my favourite times of year. I think Australia, you know, they do pretty good on the New Year's Eve fireworks. Did anyone go watch the fireworks for New Year's Eve live in person? A few? Who's the people who always stays up to midnight for New Year's Eve? Yes, we got some people. Well, I reckon Australia Day does pretty good fireworks as well. So I don't know if I'll make it tonight. Thankfully, they're early fireworks. Don't have to stay up to midnight tonight. But very good time of year. You know, growing up, I actually really loved the classic Australia Day festival. I'm actually not familiar if it's more of a thing here, but growing up in the country town, you'd go to the festival, right? And there'd be the live music. You'd have all the performances, activities for kids. Great picnic vibes, great day to hang out with family. More and more often as I was growing up, you'd see traditional Aboriginal performances, all the dances by the local groups. Really fantastic. But the reason I bring up Australia Day is because it's such a great day for community. And as some have already mentioned today, you know, I was just joking with Jason how it's like, oh, some people are stealing my message already. So maybe we're on the same wavelength. Maybe something in the prayer waves just got into people's minds and they were like, yep, today's a day to share on community. But with the word that I want to bring to you today, this idea of community, this idea of the body of Christ, what it truly means to be together is what I want to share about today. So before I continue though, why don't I pray? God, just thank you so much that we do have each other to lean on. This walk with you is not just a solo walk, but it's one we get to, like, there's the grace to do trial and error. Lord, we get to learn not just from our own mistakes, from the mistakes of others around us, and the grace to forgive and help each other grow. So as we, as Sun Life community, grow together, would you help us to really hold up one another and to challenge one another and to do life together. Amen. All right. Well, if you do have your Bible app or your Bible, I reckon now would be the time to open it. We're going to focus today on Romans chapter 12. And as you can already see behind me, the title of today's message is The Body of Christ. And now 3 points. We got believe. I'm focusing on the B's today. For some reason, just the B's came out. You've got believe, belong, and be less. No. Just bless. You know, I'll just sneak it in there. You know, when we talk about community, right? The first thing I want to mention is that it matters what we gather around. You know, there's so many different types of community out there. I know some people in this church really love their sports. You know, I know Ben loves his Dockers, for better or worse. And then, you know, even food and drink. You know, some people, they love their bubble tea. You know, there's bubble tea communities out there. Even tonight, you know, we have the board games and pizza. I bet a few communities could gather around that. But what makes us apart? What sets us apart? Surely it is God, right? Surely it is Christ we celebrate, that we gather around. It's him at the center of it all, right? We know that Jesus wasn't just a good man or a good idea or just something else. But no, he's truly Jesus, right? Truly God, truly man, 100%. You know, in Sun Life Kids, we've got four values, and we've been starting this year off by teaching those values. You've got be God-centered, be kind, be respectful, and today they're learning be responsible. And that one, God-centered, right? That's not just like, okay, we're the Christian community, of course we have to say that. But no, it impacts the way we live, right? It's not just an idea, but it's a way of life. It's everything. It's not just a Sunday special that it's like, okay, yeah, on a Sunday, I'm God-centered. On other days, maybe not. No. Yes, we only meet in this sense with all of us, but there's so many other opportunities for us to meet and serve and to love on people. We're not only once a week Christians, you know? This body of Christ isn't just a temporary thing. We are to be called at all times to be the body. You know, does anyone remember that old figure? Maybe it's not so old for some of you. Maybe for some of you that never heard of it. But Jesus be the center of it all. I feel that that song says it so well. That idea of not just God at the center of church and religious things, but God is the center of everything we do. See, God has so much wisdom. You know, that's why it says, right, we are the body, but he is the head. We have to be obedient to God, not just because it sounds good or whatever, right? But we are the body. That means if we are truly living as the body, we've got to be obedient to the head. Our first call to action as the body then is to believe and recognize God's authority. In Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To truly belong to the body, to be part of the body, is worship. You know, obedience is worship, and worship is sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to come here on a Sunday morning, right? Who knows how many people would rather be sleeping in sometimes on a Sunday morning? And there's grace now for coming to the afternoon. But oh, sometimes you miss the morning, then you're like, oh, but actually I had plans this afternoon. Ooh, when the temptation hits sometimes, right? Or maybe there are sports that you'd rather be watching or playing, or just schedules get in the way. And it shows our priorities sometimes, right? When, you know, if there's once, you know, but then when it becomes a regular thing that you keep missing church, truly it is sacrifice to be part of the body, to lay down your own will, to be submitted to Jesus, the head. And you know, when we choose God, it's not just, it's like, oh yeah, choosing God and my own. It's either or. There is no two masters, right? There's only one master we can follow. We can't choose God and money. We can't choose God and ourselves. There's only room for one on the throne, and it's got to be Jesus. So when we say that worship is not just the songs we sing, right? Worship is obedience. It's committed to being servant of God in everything we do, in all things. You know, sin, for example, is not just about doing the right thing, but it's also not doing the wrong. Doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing. It's both, right? So if you know the right thing and you don't do it, that is sin, right? They say the sin of commission and the sin of omission, which I know some of our friends are going to be learning a lot more technical jargon about that. So congrats to some people who are getting into Trinity soon. But it doesn't make it easy, right? Suppose your coworker asks for a bit of help to cover and lie on their behalf, right? They're like, oh, I need a day off. I'm going fishing. Can you just, if the boss asks you if I'm sick, just say, yeah, I'm sick, right? Or someone steals your parking spot just as you're about to pull in. I know this happened to me a few times. How do you react, right? It's not just about the action. Sometimes it's about the heart as well, eh? Or maybe your sibling just ate the last slice of pizza that you already claimed dibs on. Ooh, fists arrive, right? But in all these situations, right, it's not just about the action, but it's about the heart. See, worship isn't just about what's on the outside, but it's our heart position. Worship is sacrifice. So my question is, do you believe God is who he says he is? How are we going to believe and trust that God is someone worthy of following if we don't know who he is and if we don't really believe it? Are you willing to sacrifice what is good in your life for the great? I'll say this. This is one of my favorite songs as a kid. You'll laugh, but does anyone remember Sesame Street? Ernie and Bert? Yes, classic. Now, I love this particular song called You've Got to Put Down the Ducky If You Want to Play the Saxophone. See, Bert had a problem. He loved his rubber ducky. Take it everywhere. But every time he played the saxophone, he heard a squeak. You wonder why. He had to put down the ducky, even though he loved it, so he could play the saxophone. In the same way, right? Sometimes you've got to let go of what's good for what's great. In Matthew 13, 44 to 46, it says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. And so let me tell you some good news. You know, this process of learning to believe, learning to obey, learning to worship, it may not be instant, but it is possible. Growth can happen. It's like your nervous system and your muscles, right? God gives you the command by the nerves, but he also gives you the strength by the muscles. See, God just doesn't give us a command and be like, okay, now you do it by yourself, figure it out. No, he comes alongside and he helps us. You know, we become like what we worship. The more we respect and honor God in our daily life, not just in our one or twice actions, but as we make it a habit of worshiping God, we can become like him. Not in his nature, but in his character, we can become like God. We can learn to love, to be kind, to be humble. Yes, it's a journey, but I promise you, we can even have it become second nature. We don't have to think about it anymore. It may be that we have to fight and fight, fight to get there, but we can see victory where we start to get in sync with him, where we don't even have to ask God what the right thing to do is anymore because we just know that's the right thing to do. Where it's, in a sense, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to shout at us. He can whisper. It's like, I know the married couples in the room, right? Maybe in the first few stages, you know, your spouse had to really lay it down for you. It's like, this is appropriate, this is not. You know, the toothpaste has to have the lid closed when you're finished with it, okay? But how many times afterwards, you've been married 20, 25 more years, you just get the look. You know what they mean, right? You don't need to have a shout to understand, to communicate, even in the body language, or you know what's up. You know, I've been playing a lot of video games lately, and particularly, it takes a long time to learn a new video game, right? So I don't know if anyone's familiar with Legend of Zelda. I've been playing a bit of that, enjoying it. It took me 2 or 3 weeks before I realized that I had a shield, and that's what that button does. So in every other fight with these monsters, it was just like, oh, go in with a sword. I wonder why I die so quickly. Sometimes it's like that. We don't even know what we're doing wrong. We know that there's a bad result, but we can't figure out what's going on, why I'm tripping up, why am I stumbling? But once God reveals the secret, he gives you the grace. He doesn't teach you everything all at once. It would be so stressful. Imagine if you had to read all the complete instructions, understand it perfectly before you even took your first step. But God gives us the grace and he helps us so that even with the things he hasn't revealed yet, trust me, there's way more to grow. We never reach perfection, but God's grace is there helping us to grow bit by bit in the right timing and season. And in that process of growing, we become like Christ. And we find out what God's will is for our life through that too. Have a look in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, my encouragement here is that if you're not a regular at church, if you're not in the habit of regularly being with the body of believers, because, you know, we learn not just from the book, from God directly, but we learn from each other, right? We would love to have you join us and become regular. If not at this church, then we trust that you'll find a God-fearing and God-following church. And that will be a place that you can grow. Let me say again. The first part of being part of the body of Christ is believing him and keeping him at the head. We're not a headless church, right? Let me say, my second point is this. God calls us to belong, not just to attend. Now, if anything, I feel like this is the message that you most often hear on a Sunday, day in, day out, right? It's always about, oh, CGs, and it's always about, oh, young adults, community group doing this. We've got the adults doing this, youth have got this, right? There's always something on. And, you know, hopefully you haven't gotten bored of the message. Hopefully by now you have found community. You know, maybe sometimes it takes a bit of a time. I know we've got more welcome lunches and things like that coming up. We'd love not just to have you join a group by having to go on the website, but you'd get a personal invitation. See, joining a group isn't just about, oh, signing up for this class and, okay, obligation. But no, we hope you can find a CG to join. But in everything we do, it's community, right? And I want to give a special shout out to all the leaders out there who are willing to take that step into leadership. I know there's a few more leaders this year. Well done for all of you guys taking the step up. And that goes for our youth, our kids, adults and young adults. You guys are all amazing. Thank you for your sacrifice. You know, in Romans 12:5, it says, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So when we come to our CG meetings, when we come to church, it's not just about a time of receiving, but it's also giving. And it's not just, if you're a leader, you have to do both, right? Okay, leaders give, but everyone else receives, right? No, this is everyone together. Let me illustrate with this a point, a modern-day parable, if you will. You may have heard this story before. It floated around in 2020 quite a lot. The story goes like this. There was a seminar of sorts, and the speaker gave everyone a balloon and told them to write their name on it, right? Then they had a hallway. They just put all the balloons in the hallway. They shut the doors and gave an announcement and said, okay, on the count of three, we're going to get everyone to go out and find your balloon. You've got 10 minutes. The doors open, it's absolute chaos. There's about like 100 people all trying to find their own balloon amongst all the others in 10 minutes. Let me tell you, by the time the 10 minutes is up, we got two people have found their balloon, and only by pure chance. No one else has found their balloons. So the speaker gets them to reset the balloons in the hallway. The people all go back into the main hall. Just before they try again, the speaker says, all right, this time we're going to do it differently. We're going to get you to just grab the first balloon you see and see whose name is on it and find that person. And as the countdown started and the doors opened, everyone went out. And within 5-6 minutes, they had everyone's balloon in their hands. Now, what is the moral of the story, right? The best way to take care of your own problems is to help someone with theirs. So then, how do we relate that to being part of a CG? We want you to be you. We want you to be open, to be real. As the church always says in Sun Life, it's about taking your next step. Now, for some, that may mean coming regularly to start with, right? You can't really give much if you're not going to be here much. For some, maybe it's just praying aloud or committing to praying for people. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't wait. So some, it's being hospitable and inviting people over for a snack or a cup of tea. Or if you're having a group time, maybe bring something to share. It could be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be this huge, big thing. You don't have to suddenly like bake a 5-course meal for like 10 friends. It can be something small, something simple. How are you being a blessing to those around you? Trust that as you are a blessing to them, they will also help you with your needs. So let me go back to our passage, Romans 12:6-8. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here's the great news. You don't have to give like others give. God has made each of us uniquely in his image. We're all able to give and be generous and bless in different ways, right? So it's not, imagine if all of us, the only thing we ever did in our group was, okay, everyone brings food, but no one prays for each other. Well, I mean, yes, I'm enjoying that, but am I getting what's good out of it, right? And so when it comes to meeting together, when it comes to being part of a body, right? When it comes to committing, not just attending, but belonging, it's about everyone bringing their own unique gifts to it. I know some of you have got some pretty good talents out there. Maybe it's fixing cars. I definitely did not have that skill talent. And so I actually really appreciate how many times I see people with healthcare needs, for example. I know that there's some people in this church who have just been generous. They know where the recommendations are at with real estate, right? There's so many different skills and talents in this church. And I love seeing how they generous they are with those skills to help us as a church. And so my challenge to you is use the gift God has given you and do it humbly. We don't need to boast about it or make ourselves up to be something big and important. Don't play yourself down and say, I've got no talent, but neither lift yourself up and say, oh, I'm the most important person, right? It's that being the real you. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's this brilliant Greek word called hupotasso, mutual submission. I love it. As we submit to one another, we help each other out. Doesn't mean that it's not sacrifice, though. As the first one, worship is sacrifice, so is love to one another. We go up, but we also focus in. So the second step, as it were, second part of being a part of the body, is to love and serve one another. Now we come to my third and final point. We are not just for here for ourselves as this insular body isolated from society, but we are called to bless. This body isn't just for keeping itself alive, but to bring life to those around us. Let me show you something interesting from the end of our passage here in Romans 12, verse 10. It starts where we would expect, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So all expected things, right? Lift up your brothers and sisters. Be part of the community. But the word hospitality is an anchor word that leads us to a new direction. You know, the true definition of hospitality is to bless those who can't give you something back. The stranger, right? True hospitality is reaching out to the poor and the needy. So see where it goes in verse 14 onwards. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And verse 17 to 21 continues. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So suddenly we are not just instructed to bless those who can bless us back, but to bless and show love, even to those who might intend harm and evil for us. Now, this doesn't mean you love in the same way, right? You're not just going to go around giving out all your resources and inviting everyone over to your home in that sense, right? There's still boundaries, there's still wisdom. But there is a way to follow God's example and be kind and show love and respect even to those who would intend harm, who would ignore you, who would look down upon you. Thing is, I don't need to convince you of this. I see so much of this already happening with our tiny treasures, with our alpha course that we do. So many volunteers stepping up, even in kids ministry and youth. And there's more opportunities around, but I love that this is a church that gives. This is already a church that is given so much of time and money and resources. I'm just so impressed with you guys. But maybe let this be a challenge to you. Do you tithe regularly to church? Great. Consider giving in person to someone as well. Do you serve in a team on Sunday? Great. Then also consider being generous midweek. Do you like hosting parties for friends? Maybe invite a stranger over to join you one day. Someone who can't host a party back. My encouragement to you is this. Do the hard thing. Once again, love is sacrifice. Look what it says in Luke 14, 12 to 14. Then he turned to the host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Let me pose this question to you guys. To the couples specifically, do you guys wait for Valentine's days or anniversaries or birthdays before you give a gift or show love in any way? No? Isn't it so much better to be surprised? Then church, let us not wait for August when we have our missions month or other such events to bless the stranger, the poor and the needy. Let us spur one another on to acts of love and kindness. Perhaps as a CG, you can think of a way to bless the community around you. Is there a way you can bless another CG or someone outside a church? Of course, I know many of you already support Children Through Compassion, but maybe as a group, you could raise money to support a not NGO. Maybe there's some way you can come together. Maybe as an individual, you can look to your neighbor and be like, oh, I think they actually need some help with their lawn. I wonder if I'll just go offer to mow their lawn for them. Or maybe they're traveling. They're looking for a pet sitter. Maybe you can go help them feed their pet, right? Let us as the body be the ones to set the trend on being kind. You know, there's so many wonderful groups out there doing amazing things, and I love what they do. But shouldn't we as the body of Christ be the ones to set the example, not letting others go ahead and be kinder or more loving than we are, right? As a body of Christ, let us work together to be a blessing to those around us. So let me wrap it up by saying this. God has united us. He is our head. We are the body. We need to worship and believe in him. He calls us to belong to both the body, that is the universal believers, and a body, that is the local church. Lastly, God has blessed us to be a blessing. We connect with God, with believers and the world, inward, upward and outward. And in everything we practice being this living sacrifice. This is how we love, by laying down our life, just as he did for us. So before I close in prayer, let me say this. As a church, we don't just believe in hearing, but obeying, right? And so we'd love to encourage action today from you. That first step, though, can be so uncertain. Which direction do I walk in? What's that first thing? With our 3 points, some of you may be feeling to be called to be more obedient. Some of you, God is calling to show love to one another. Some of you, that first step you're going to take is an action to reach out to the world, right? It may be uncertain, but we are here to help you. And so if you would like prayer today, maybe related to something I shared today, or it may be something completely different you're looking for prayer for. But we'd love to invite you to come up. As I wrap up, there'll be people up here who can pray for you. And so if that's you, after I've prayed, I'll invite you to come forward and we'll have a time of prayer and worship. God, just thank you so much, Lord, that we recognize that you are the not just the instruction or the key winder that sets us off, but your intimate presence is with us forever. And so we recognize that we also aren't complete. We're not finished yet. The work is still going on, and we want to be continually growing together, supporting each other. And so as we look for those next steps that you would have us take, Lord, we invite you into the process. We don't just want to go out and be like, this is my choice, this is what I'm doing, God bless it. But we want to be submitted to you, asking, what would you have me do? And do it. And so, Lord, we just submit ourselves as the body to your headship today, Lord. Amen.